Well, here we are. Another Sunday. Are you glad to be here?
Yes, sir.
How many of you are glad to be here? How many of you wish you were somewhere else? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. That's right. Heaven. Well, that's true. That's the other alternative, isn't it? Okay? Since we either want to be here or we want to be there, but I'd rather be there than here. How about you? I can't wait. Did you get that? It's going to get worse, let me tell you. All right? Okay. So hopefully when you came in this morning, you received the bulletin. And if not, please make sure that you grab one on the way out, because it's so important for you to be able to know what's going on. So this morning, right after our morning worship service, which just started a minute ago, got that? All right. Told you, it's only going to get worse. I mean, better. Okay. And so after our morning worship service this morning, we're going to have our church family dinner. I hope that you're going to stay and join us for food and fellowship. It'll be a great time. And for those of you who brought food, please make sure that any leftover food, you take it with you afterwards and you take your dishes home with you. That would just be so helpful to us. Parents, I hope you understand there's no children's church today. There's a note in the bulletin about what to do, how to be able to handle that. Not a whole lot going on except Tuesday evening. Men, we have our leadership team meeting. This was rescheduled from last week. So Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m., we're going to meet here at the church, and there's quite a bit of items of business that we need to take care of. Lots of other things in the bulletin. So this morning, just as I was getting ready to come to church, I got a text message from Christy Schofield. And her mom last night was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And there might even be multiple brain tumors. And so just keep Christy and her family in your prayers. Keep her mom and her dad in your prayers. Just keep the whole Schofield family in your prayers, because this was unexpected news. And it answers a lot of questions that they've had previously, but it's still a little bit of a shock. And so I know that they would appreciate your prayers. So I know that you'll be praying for them. In fact, let's take a moment right now and let's just pray for Christy and her family. Father, we just want to pray for this situation with Christy and what's going on with her mom. And Father, we just pray that that you will just allow them to be able to know strength. Father, we pray that you will allow them to be able to know your power. Father, I pray that you will allow them to be able to know your peace. And I pray that they'll be able to know your presence. And I pray that in the midst of all of this, that you will continue to be glorified. I know this family is all about giving you glory. And so, Father, I just pray that that will continue. But, Father, you know what the needs are. You know what the needs are in every one of their lives. You know what the needs are in this situation better than we do. So we're just going to ask you, meet those needs. And meet those needs in the measure that you know is needed. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've come this morning because of Jesus. Amen. We're not here because of ourselves. We're here because of Jesus. Are you ready to praise him? You ready to lift up your voices in song? All right, let's go, worship team.
Would you all stand on your feet with me? Whom shall I fear? You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Oh, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Lord, we trust you. We trust you as our creator, as our king, the one who has won every battle already. Lord, there is no thing that can stand in your way. No brain tumor, no amount of distance, not death itself. You have overcome all. Lord, thank you for giving us hope because of you. We love you and we praise you today. Amen. You can go and be seated if you want to. When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain moved. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. And all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. When all I see is a cross, God, you see the empty tomb. So when I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you in every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. An almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood. Just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood.
Next verse.
Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease. Just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, for grace to trust him more.
Lord, as we go through the difficulties and the trials of life, help us to trust you more and more, because you have been faithful and you will not stop being faithful. Help us to remember how great is your faithfulness. Amen. If you want to be seated, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
I am holding on to faith, 'cause I know you'll make a way. And I don't always understand, and I don't always get to see, but I will believe it. I will believe it. You make mountains move. You make giants fall. You use songs of praise to shake prison walls. I will speak to my fear, and I will preach to my doubt that you were faithful then. You'll be faithful now. I am standing on your word. I'm calling heaven down to earth. And you will fight my enemies, and this will end in victory. And I will believe it. Yes, I will believe it. That you make mountains move. You make giants fall. You use songs of praise to shake prison walls. I will speak to my fear, and I will preach to my doubt that you were faithful then, and you will be faithful now. And I know that I know you never fail. Yes, I know that I know you never will. And I know that I know you never fail. Yes, I know that I know you never will. 'Cause you make mountains move. You make giants fall. You use songs of praise to shake prison walls. I will speak to my fear, and I will preach to my doubt that you were faithful then. You will be faithful now. You were faithful then, and you will be faithful now.
Our usher is going to take this morning's offering, and got a new song for you. You may have heard on the radio, but it goes right along with our battling theme this morning. So,
there's peace that outlasts darkness, hope that's in the blood. There's future grace that's mine today, that Jesus Christ has won. So I can face tomorrow, for tomorrow's in your hands. All I need you will provide, just like you always have. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. Don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. There's mercy in the waiting, manna for today. And when it's gone, I know you're not. You are my hope and stay. So when the sea is raging, your spirit is my help. He'll fix my eyes on Jesus Christ. I'll say that it is well. Oh, I know that it is well. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. I know how the story ends. We will be with you again. You're my savior, my defense. No more fear in life or death. I know how the story ends. We will be with you again. You're my savior, my defense. No more fear in life or death. I know how this story ends. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. Don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. I'm fighting a battle you've already won.
Can you trust him in the battle? That's the question, isn't it? We're here. He's already passed us because of his eternality, because of his omniscience, because of his omnipresence. Isn't that good to know? We might be fighting a battle. He's already won it for us. We just got to trust him. We just got to follow him. We just got to guide him. Let him guide us. No matter what's going on around us, we've got to trust him. In times of blessing, we've got to trust him. In times of persecution, we need to trust him. Today we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 32. So hopefully you'll be able to find that in your Bibles. And in Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 32, the theme of these verses is persecution. So I want you to look around you today, and I want you to find eight people. Go ahead. Count until you locate eight individuals. By the time you go to sleep tonight, eight people around the world will have died because they are trustworthy disciples of Jesus. Throughout history, more than 260 million believers, one of every eight believers, experience high levels of persecution. Just this year alone, a total of 9,488 places of worship have been attacked. 3,711 believers around the world were detained without trial, sentenced, and imprisoned. 2,983 followers of Jesus were killed for faith-related reasons. Here are some past reports from around the world about persecution. In Nigeria, a pastor who gave praise to God in a ransom video was beheaded because he wouldn't recant his faith. In North Korea, which is number one on persecution lists, believers are sent to labor camps as political criminals or even executed on the spot. Meeting with other believers for worship is almost impossible unless it's done in complete secrecy. In Sri Lanka, on a Sunday morning, three churches were bombed. China has implemented a social score system that grades its citizens based on their actions using surveillance cameras and artificial intelligence to monitor believers. The government has been shutting down house churches for their refusal to install cameras. Recently, Time magazine reported in just one Chinese city, there's one surveillance camera for every six citizens. Now, if you'd like to stay up to date on the persecuted church around the world, Voice of the Martyrs has a number of free resources available. So this morning, as we continue our study of the Holy Spirit's actions as he guides the church in God's mission, we find another outbreak of persecution against the early church. Hopefully by now you found Acts chapter 5. Follow along as I read verses 17 through 32. But the high priest rose up and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." Did you notice that life here is capitalized? It's not talking about a physical life. It's talking about spiritual life. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. So they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Now we might read these verses and we might go, "What?" So we're going to walk through these verses for a little bit this morning so that we can understand them. And then we're going to allow these verses to walk through us so that we can live them. So I'm giving you fair warning right now, okay? All right? So we're going to begin with the exposition of these verses, and then we're going to end with some application. So in response to seeing so many sick people, remember that's what was happening when we concluded last week's message, right? They were bringing the sick from all over, were coming to Jerusalem, so that they could be laid in the streets on cots and on mats, on sofas and on mats, so that just if Peter happened to walk by, the presence of his shadow would bring healing to those who were sick and afflicted. And we talked about this wasn't just physical sickness. Some of them were sick spiritually. Some of them were sick emotionally. Some of them were sick relationally. And so in response to all of this taking place, the high priest said, "Whoa, praise God." Is that what it says? No, he said he rose up and all who were with him, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the religious leaders of the nation of Israel, and filled with jealousy. And so feeling threatened and jealous, these religious leaders stand to their feet and they're ready to what? Fight. They were filled with what? Jealousy, which means they were wholly affected and filled with fiery wrath. What a reminder this is, that what fills you will end up controlling you. What fills you will end up controlling you. The Bible says that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's found in the book of Ephesians, by the way. Which means we're to let God's Holy Spirit be what controls us. These religious leaders were trying to disguise their jealousy as justice. And jealousy is a dangerous thing because it leads to dangerous behavior. Now notice in verse 18 what happens next. They arrested the apostles and they put them in public prison. In the previous chapter, they only arrested Peter and John, but now all 12 of them are placed in the public prison. Why the emphasis on public? Because this is designed to both embarrass and intimidate the apostles, because it's all done for the public to be able to see. And then notice what takes place next in verse 19. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out. Didn't we just sing a song about that? About God causing prison doors to open? So angels, remember, are messengers of God, and they appear throughout the pages of God's word. In fact, later on in the book of Acts, we're going to see how angels bring messages to an Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8, and to a fellow named Cornelius, who's a Gentile, in Acts chapter 10. And an angel is also involved in freeing Peter from prison, and we're going to see that in Acts chapter 12. Now, this is highly interesting because the Sadducees don't believe in angels. So God sends one to bring the apostles out of jail. Who are the Sadducees? They're part of the group of the religious leaders of the nation of Israel. And so doesn't God have a sense of humor? Isn't it great, right? Well, you don't believe in angels? Watch this. Go ahead, put my apostles in the public prison. I'll get them out, even if you don't believe it. In verse 20, the message from the angel is a reminder of God's mission. The angel says to them, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Now, don't miss this. Don't miss this message from the angel. The angel says, go. Now, it's interesting that as I was reflecting on this, I came to this interesting fact that the first two letters of the gospel are go. Whoa. Remember what Jesus told some of these same apostles before he ascended into heaven? It's recorded in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, where Jesus said, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. So Jesus tells them to go. Now the angel tells them to what? Go. And you know what? All throughout God's word tells us to go. To go and tell the message that Jesus died on the cross. Now, the apostles weren't to stand there in awe of the angel, but instead were to take a stand in the temple, which was where people congregated. The temple was also represented the old order of sacrifices and rituals for our sins. Notice that was replaced when Jesus offered himself as the full and final sacrifice for our sins. Notice, too, that the apostles were not to escape and run away, but instead to run toward the temple and keep on telling others about the Savior. I don't know about you, but my first inclination was if an angel came and released me out of prison, I wouldn't go back to the place and do the same thing that I was doing that got me put in there in the first place. I'd go in a different direction. But that's just me. But the apostles, look at what happens in verse 21. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now, it would have been good for the apostles to be able to have gone to the temple during the night, during the evening, and overnight, because there wouldn't be what? Anybody there. So they could say, well, we kind of obeyed what the angel said. We did go to the temple. There wasn't anybody there, but that's not our fault. We did what the angel told us to do, right? But they didn't. They waited until daybreak when they knew that people were going to be there. As soon as the sun was up, they went to the temple, which was where hundreds of people had gathered for morning sacrifices and for prayers. And what did they do? They didn't talk about the fact they had just come out of prison. They began to teach, which indicates that they did this over and over and over again. Now get the picture. They went to this room and they taught about Jesus. They went to another place in the temple, they taught about Jesus. They went to another place, they taught about Jesus. They went to the broom closet of the temple and they taught about Jesus. They taught about Jesus everywhere there were people. Is there a lesson there for us? God has placed us in communities. He's placed us in neighborhoods. He's placed us in jobs. He's placed us in the marketplace. He's placed us in schools. He's placed us in a lot of different places. And there's a reason, because we're to go to those places. Go. And what are we supposed to do? Tell them about life. Not this life, but the eternal life that we have because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross and what Jesus has done for them on the cross. Now, not knowing that the apostles had made a jailbreak, the second half of verse 21 sets the scene continually. Now, when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. So this is the Sanhedrin. Have you ever heard of the Sanhedrin? The Sanhedrin was the senate, along with the Supreme Court of the Jews. And this was made up of older, respected representatives. And they asked the authorities to what? Bring the prisoners. And verse 22 tells us what happened next. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the present. So they returned and reported. Wait a minute. Where were they? They were in the prison. Now the authorities go at the request of the Sanhedrin, of the officials of the nation of Israel, to what? Bring the prisoners. They go to the prison, and what do they find? No one. No one. What? What? Wait a minute. They're in this public prison. People are walking by. People are able to look inside the windows. People know what's going on. There's guards that are posted there. The prison doors are locked. What? They go, and there's what? Nobody there. What did it say? They did not find them. They searched everywhere, even the broom closet. Didn't find them. Now, can you imagine what their conversation was like on the way back from this empty public prison? I'm not going to tell them that we couldn't find them. You tell them. I'm not telling them that we couldn't find them. You tell them. I'm not going to tell them they weren't there. You go ahead and tell them. Can you imagine that? So when they returned to the Sanhedrin, what do they say? We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. You get the picture? The doors were firmly shut and locked. The train guards were stationed at their posts, but somehow the prisoners were not there. Now the idea here is that the guards had never left and were standing on high alert. But the prisoners were not there. I wonder how this happened. How did it happen? God did it. He sent an angel of the Lord to what? Release them. Did the angel of the Lord create an earthquake? Nope. Did the angel of the Lord just go and knock the guards down and cause them to fall down dead and as dead and they were just asleep? Nope. The angel of the Lord just came and led the apostles out of the prison without unlocking any of the doors. Wow. Wow. Now, because their theology had no place for an improbable work by God, these leaders did not know how to accept this news. See what it says? Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. Greatly perplexed here means they were at a loss, continually puzzled and hesitating greatly. Why? Because their theology would not let them what? Attribute this to God. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. Didn't you say several times already that these were the religious leaders of the nation of Israel? Yes. They were the ones responsible for teaching the people of the nation of Israel about God? Yes. They were responsible for teaching the people the Old Testament about the prophets and about the patriarchs? Yes. And they still wouldn't give God the glory for this? Yes. How many times do we go and we pray and we ask God to do something and then God does this and we don't believe it? I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, you'll never believe. I've been praying and I've asked you to pray and God has done this. You just don't believe it. And it's like, no, I believe it. Because God done it. God's the one who did it. But what do? We try to what? Ignore that God had anything to do with it. That's what these religious leaders were doing. Notice that these religious leaders were perplexed, but not persuaded. They were perplexed, but not persuaded to give God glory. Notice that this messenger, as he comes and reports about the apostles, doesn't use any of the apostles' names, but instead refers to them as the men. These religious leaders are outraged that these men are now standing in the temple once again and teaching about eternal life in Jesus. And knowing they had to stop this, verse 26 tells us now what the religious leaders decide to do. Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. Now when they return with the apostles, they bring them before the Sanhedrin, which was a group of about 71 justices who met in a big courtroom in the temple. And this no doubt was intimidating. And it says, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. These religious leaders were now interrogating these apostles. And when they said, we strictly charged you, they're saying, we commanded you with a commandment not to do this. Notice that as they stand before these leaders, the leaders never said, how did you get out of jail? How did you get out of the public prison? When the doors were locked, when the guards were in their post, how did you do this? They didn't want to know. Because if they did know, they would have to what? Admit that God was at work. They weren't going to do that. Oh, does that happen in our culture today? Does that happen in our world today? God does something, but nobody wants to give God the credit for it. Amazing. Amazing. They weren't going to ask how they got out of jail. I don't think the Sadducees wanted to consider the answer because they knew it was a result of godly intervention as the jail was touched by an angel. Some of you will understand that later. These Jewish religious leaders had a lot of contempt and disdain for Jesus, so much so that instead of using his name, they referred to him twice as this man. This is similar to what the authorities said to Peter and John in verse 17 of chapter 4. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. They wouldn't even use the name of Jesus. So here in just a few weeks, the apostles have filled Jerusalem with the gospel message. And this word filled was used of filling a hollow place, reminding us that our lives are empty and hollow until Jesus and his Holy Spirit fills them. And instead of shutting down with fear, Peter speaks up and gives a courageous and God-centered response. What does he say? We must obey God rather than men. That's a hard thing to do. It may be an easy thing to say. It's a hard thing to be able to say. In past years, we as the leadership team here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, we were faced with having almost to come to this conclusion that we ought to obey God rather than men, because we were forced to do some things that we didn't feel would be honoring to God. The word must here is in the present tense and could be translated, we are under compulsion to obey God. This is similar to what Peter and John said in Acts chapter 4 when they said, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. In verse 30, Peter doesn't mince any words as he confronts them. And he says, the God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. By using the title God of our fathers, Peter is identifying himself as a fellow Jew with these leaders. And once again, as we've already seen, we see how important the resurrection is in their preaching. As Peter proclaims, Jesus was raised from the dead again. Something that the Sadducees denied. Verse 31 is filled with a beautiful description of where Jesus is and who he is, where Peter says, God exalted Jesus at his right hand and as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Where Jesus is. Jesus was raised from the dead. 3 days after he died, he walked out of that tomb, ascended into heaven, and is now exalted at the right hand of God the Father. He is elevated far above everything and everyone, including these Jewish religious leaders. Because he's sitting at the right hand, it's the position of power and authority. Who Jesus is, Peter says that Jesus is both leader and savior. The title leader here is rich in meaning. It refers to the one who goes first on the path, and he is the one who blazes the trail. In verse 32, Peter comes back to God's mission and the involvement of every believer. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. You and I are called, commissioned, and equipped to be witnesses and to give witness to the one who died, rose, ascended, is exalted, and is coming again. And the apostles here are living out Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which Jesus said before he ascended into heaven. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And by the way, the word witness in the Greek is the same word where we get the name martyr from. Interesting. So, what do we do with all of this? Well, we can boil it down. I've got 5 points of application, and I'm going to go through them fairly quickly. But we can boil it all down to this. It's always better to obey God, especially during times of persecution. It's always better to obey God, especially in times of persecution. So what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, let me give you 5 things. And if you're taking notes in the back of the bulletin, these are the points in the back of the bulletin. Endure when persecution happens. Endure when persecution happens. That's number one. It's not a question of if persecution will come. It's when it comes. Jesus told us, if they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. 2 Timothy 3:12 says every believer needs to be aware that persecution will come. There Paul writes to Timothy and he says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be what? Persecuted. Are you prepared for persecution? How will you respond when it comes? Oh, you might be able to sit here and you might be able to say, well, I don't even want to think about that, Pastor. I don't want to think about that happening to me, that the governmental authorities come in and try to get me to recant my faith, come in and threaten me because I'm a believer in what Jesus has done for me on the cross. I don't even want to think about that. Let me tell you something. The time to answer those questions of are you prepared and how will you respond when persecution comes is now. Before the persecution arrives, what are you going to do? The time to answer those questions is before it ever arrives. Because once you're in the heat of the moment, who knows what kind of a stand? Who knows what kind of a conviction you're going to have? Who knows how you're going to respond? The time to respond, the time to answer those questions is before the persecution ever arise. The second point is this: trust God. Trust God to do his work and his will. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18 and verse 27, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Do we believe that? Do we trust God? Do we take him at his word? We sang a hymn this morning that said, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Jesus said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And so far in our study in the book of Acts, we've seen how God's moved his purposes forward. So are there prison doors in your heart and life that you need God to open? Have you hit a dead end? Are you carrying burdens that God does not want you to carry? It's time. It's time to trust God to do what only he can do. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, it says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We need to trust God to do his work and his will. The third point is this: obey God no matter what. Obey God no matter what. In times of blessing, in times of persecution. Because God's word tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Someone once said, don't pursue your dreams, pursue obedience. It's more important to be obedient to God's leading than to follow your own leading. The apostles chose to obey God, even if it meant what? Being put in prison. And once, by God's hand, they were taken out of prison, and the angel said to them, go back to the temple and do what? Tell people about about life, about spiritual life, about how Jesus died on the cross for them, about the eternal life that they can have as a free gift because they believe in what Jesus has done for them on the cross. Go and tell them. Go and tell them. And I wonder if God's Holy Spirit isn't telling us today, go and tell them, no matter what. You see, they weren't afraid that they were going to get put in prison again. They went because they knew that God, through this angel, was telling them to obey, no matter what. Point number four is this: stay involved in the mission. One reason the early church saw so many people believing in Jesus as Savior is because these believers in the early church lived out God's mission. Remember the command of the angel to go, stand, and speak? This is in the present imperative, which tells us it's not optional. It wasn't optional for them. Guess what? It's not optional for us today, as the trustworthy disciples that God desires for us to be. We need to go. We need to go where people are. We go where people are. We need to stand. We're to stand up wherever he places us. That means we must live what we say we believe, and we must speak. When an opportunity comes our way, we must put our witness into words and explain the message of eternal life in Jesus. In fact, in Acts chapter 18 and verse 9, God said this to Paul. He says, do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent. What was God telling Paul? Stay involved in the mission that I have for you. Maybe God is telling you that this morning. Here's point number five: pray for and with those experiencing persecution. Pray for and with those experiencing persecution. You know, the number one request from those who are persecuted is for us to pray for them. It's not to send them money. It's not to go over and stand beside them. It's to pray for them. And I want you to listen to Paul's prayer that's recorded for us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And he prays this prayer while he is in persecution. He says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, has happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one." Did we not sing songs this morning that remind us of the faithfulness of God? God is faithful, yes, in the good times, but God is just as faithful in the times of persecution. You see, these religious leaders thought they could stop God's mission of telling the gospel by arresting and sending the apostles to public prison. Yeah, how'd that work out? God had another plan, right? But every time they tried to stop it, it just became more effective. And throughout history, there have been rulers and authorities who have tried to extinguish God's message only to discover their efforts only served to make God's word spread faster. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? So, endure when persecution happens. Trust God to do his work and his will. Obey God no matter what. Stay involved in the mission and pray for and with those experiencing persecution. Father, this look into the early church tells us that persecution is a real thing. And we know that when you cut it all down, that persecution comes because Satan doesn't want your word to go forth. He doesn't want people to grow in their knowledge of you. He doesn't want them to grow in their relationship with you. He doesn't want them to come to believe in Jesus as Savior so that they can realize that they've been given a free gift of eternal life just by believing. He doesn't want people to be able to live a life that is abundant and free. He wants them to be bound up. He wants them to be bound up in the culture. He wants them to be bound up in tradition. He wants them to be bound up in legalistic ideology, even legalistic ideology that comes from within the church. He doesn't want that. But Father, you want people to be involved in the mission that you have for us as believers, to be able to go and to be able to speak about eternal life that comes by believing in Jesus and what he did on the cross. You want us to help train and equip trustworthy disciples. You want us to speak. You want us to stand no matter what. Oh, Father, make each one of us that kind of a person. Make this church that kind of a church. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me for this final song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness"?
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. All changes not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I am needed, Thy hand hath provided. summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Oh, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I am needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine, with 10,000 beside. Oh, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I am needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faith, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faith. Sing it out. Oh, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
We'll see you at church family dinner in just a few minutes.